Crane have attempted to tackle the mysteries of human behavior, often with limited success. But practical answers to the questions of why we are who we are and do the things we do are coming from an unexpected source: research laboratories. Scientists have recently learned a great deal about us, deep, dark secrets that everyone needs to know. The better you know your true self, the easier it is to navigate life's journey. And by knowing what makes people tick, you will have a better understanding of those who are not like you. All of us like to think that we march to the beat of our own drum, but science has revealed that the rhythm is played by percussionists we can't see with the naked eye. We march through life believing that we're the drummer, but the shocking evidence reveals this is an illusion. The truth is that there are hidden forces orchestrating our each and every move. To illustrate this point, let's consider one of my personal quirks: my distaste for vegetables like broccoli. I've always hated broccoli because it tastes so bitter to me. The smell of it cooking can make me gag. My wife, however, eats a lot of it, willingly. What's the difference between us? A clue comes from how our children responded to broccoli as infants. My son liked it, but my daughter reacted as if we were trying to poison her. We did not teach our children to love or loathe broccoli. They came to us this way, suggesting that this behavior is written in our DNA. We'll spell out how this works in Chapter 2. Let the ramifications of that sink in a minute. The genes in our DNA have a say in whether or not we like something. I'm vindicated. My aversion to broccoli is not my fault, and I should stop apologizing for it because I had no say in which genes I acquired. If we're not in control of something as basic as our personal tastes, what other things about us are beyond our command? In these pages, I set out on a quest to see how much genes contribute to our behavior. As we'll see, DNA presides over much more than our physical attributes like eye color and whether we're born with hands. It can also influence what we do with our lives, how quickly we lose our temper, whether we crave alcohol, how much we eat, who we fall for, and whether we like to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. DNA is often referred to as the blueprint of life because it contains the instructions to build an organism. When it comes to building most people, DNA engineers the biological equivalent of a humble abode, although some folks get a mansion while others receive what we'll call a fixer-upper. And then some seem to be constructed from the blueprints of the Death Star. But surely we are more than a pile of genes, right? Your relatives, for example, share a lot of your DNA, but you can all be surprisingly different. Even identical twins, who are essentially genetic clones that share 100% of their genes, often diverge in their appearance and behavior. The home remodeling TV show Property Brothers is hosted by identical twins, but they are not exactly the same. One is a quarter inch taller than the other. One is obsessed with fashion and enjoys wearing suits, while the other dresses casually. One enjoys hammering out the business details, the other prefers to swing a hammer. One is a conscious eater, while the other has a relaxed approach to diet. These differences suggest that genes build a house, but something else makes it a home. In this book, we'll take a look at the factors in our environment that can affect how our genes work, as well as how the environment may alter our DNA in ways that might be passed on to future generations. The means by which the outside world interplays with our genes is a new field of study known as epigenetics. Epigenetics can have a tremendous impact on our behavior, and remarkably, its effects on our DNA begin before